jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, oh!
Can we sing that? He loves us.
Yeah. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Let's sing it again. He loves us.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh.
Now let's make it personal. Say, he loves me. He loves me.
He loves me. Oh.
Amen. Let's put our hands together. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. For he alone is worthy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how fitting that song is for the message that will be heard in your hearing on today. Oh, how he loves us. Amen. And today we want to talk about the power of a perfecting, of power of perfected love. The power of perfected love. That's going to be the message for today. Or perfected, or perfect love. And we're still continuing in this theme of a radical love. A radical love. Amen. And also, before I turn to the verse of scripture, we want to remind you that there is one more week for our street service. Amen. We got one more week for our street service out in Bloomsdale. Thank God, amen, for all those that have been there and the community, even those from area churches that have been going out. We got one more week this Tuesday. Amen. Brother Willie, he could give up. He could get up and testify, amen. But I'm not going to do that right now. But God is good. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to 1 John, chapter 4, verse. We're going to start at the 10th verse today. The 10th verse today. We're back in the same chapter, kind of going to finish the latter half of this chapter today. And it reads as thus: herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God is love, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's our focal verse. And we have known and believed, verse 16, the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. There's that word perfect again. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment, have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The power of perfected love. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless and we praise your name to know that you alone are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we pray right now that, Lord, this won't just be another ordinary message. Oh, God, that this won't just be another ordinary time that we just sit in the pew. But, God, this will be a time like none other that your word will just drill down to the very depths in the core of our hearts to open up doors in us. Oh, God, or rooms or areas, oh, God, where we've shut you out, that it may drill down to a deeper, just more intimate love affair with you. That even as the disciples walked and talked on Emmaus Road, they said, did not our hearts burn within? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us, that you sent your son to be the very propitiation, the replacement, and pay the penalty, the wrath that you met in our stead or in our behalf. Oh God, and those that don't know this love, those that don't know you, the wrath of God still abideth on him. So God, break our hearts. God, that people won't have to guess around us that we belong to you, that they will see something, oh God, in us, that they will know it's not from this world, and they too will thirst after the very love that we portray. God, help us, oh God. Oh God, that even as we leave out these doors and go into the mission field, it's not enough to come in here and run around and jump and shout and sing. But God, that there may be impact to our lives, to a hurting and dying world, a desperate world, that they may see Jesus Christ. God, we love you and we bless you for us in Jesus' name. For us, we pray, let everybody say amen. 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 The power of perfected love. And I use the word perfected because it's God is perfecting us. Yes, we have a perfect Savior, right, who died on the cross for our sins. Amen? But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for all things work together, 8:28, to them that love God and to are those who are called according to his purpose. For him he did foreknow, to them he did predestinate, that we should be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brother. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he justified us. Whom he justified, to them he also glorified us. And that's the conforming power of the love of God to make us into the very image of his son. It's what he's perfecting in us. And I thank God for last week. We touched on a number of these verses. But when we look at verse 9 of our text, actually, I know it starts at 10, but we're going to back up to verse 9. But verse 9 says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Also in 1 John 3:16 says the same thing. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And guess what? He came not into the world to condemn the world, but he came that the world through him might be saved. And so guess what, y'all? We see the cross. And listen, and it's time out for us for fake love. Right? It's time out for fake love, where we say we love people and we love the Lord and we love people from the distance. But we won't open up our hearts to really demonstrate, to allow the love of Christ to be demonstrated and manifested through our lives. And over again, this is what John is getting at. This is how the love of God is perfected in us. Amen. As we open up our bowels, that Christ's love may be able to be poured through us as a conduit to help somebody else. Y'all know what? It's not enough to sit in our homes, come to church, right? Hear the preacher, sing with the choir, go back home to our house, drive past the neighborhood, see those in need, shut up our bowels and go in our house and say, I'm praying for your sister. Or God can send somebody to you that's in need, right? And we shut up the love of God. And we're good to say, well, I'm praying for you. We'll be praying for you. No, how about getting with the person, finding out what their needs are? Amen. That we may be able to help somebody else, and that somebody else may be able to see a living demonstration in and through our lives. Amen. That we can be a part of other ministries, like the prison or the nursing home ministry or the street ministry. Amen. And not just sitting and learning, but where Christ's love is manifest through us. Man? And when we see this in 1 John chapter 4, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his begotten Son. He sent his everything. And God just didn't tell us that he loved us. But guess what? He demonstrated that love. He demonstrated it. Amen. We've got to demonstrate the love. And the love of Christ must be manifested through us. And then he says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the very propitiation for our sins. And when we look at that, right? Hebrews 2:17. When we look at this word propitiation, which is, I'm telling you, it's the crux, the cross, right? Where Christ was crucified, right? That's where the very wrath of God met his Son. Amen. Because of his love that he had for you and me. And the word propitiation means that he appeased, he satisfied the wrath that was meant for you and I. He satisfied it. The boiling pot, amen, of wrath that was to be meant for us, he dumped it out onto his Son. And his Son, not only did his Son appease the Father, But he satisfied the wrath. And guess what? He paid. He paid our sin debt in full. Guess what, y'all? We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he would send his only begotten distinction, the only one. Not like I had 10 to choose from, but the begotten. John is always saying his begotten son. And guess what? The Bible says he turned his back on his own son. Amen. Because his eyes were too holy to look upon my sin. That's how much he loved us. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to bruise him, that he might make his soul an offering from sin. Amen. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. It pleased him. That's how much he loved us. So, man, when Lauren is singing that song, oh, 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 how he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved me. Oh, how he loved you. That God would send his everything to die for me. He took my place. He took my place in death. He took my place. And guess what? This word propitiation means that he appeased, he satisfied, he paid, and not only that, but he reconciled us. He reconciled. We were at odds. Amen. But he was the mediator. One God and one mediator between God and man. And that is the what? Man. It calls him a man, Jesus Christ, because he had to be a man to take Adam's place in death. But what the first man, Adam, could not do, the second man, Adam, did it. Because he was 100% God. And he was 100% man. Amen. Taking on flesh. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, because he was God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and humbled himself, and became obedient to the very death of the cross. That's what he did. That's what this love did. And I'm telling you, when we cut the distractions and turn the TV off. I heard a good doctor say the other day, man. He said, how can we as believers sit up and watch 4 and 5 and 6 hours worth of TV? Right? Here we got this love letter, this love book, that he tells us how much he loved us. But we can sit up for 4 or 5 hours, then we get ready to go to bed. And we say, oh, Heavenly Father, Jesus, I come before you. Guard my heart. Go with my family. Bless my neighbor in Jesus' name. Amen. We too tired to pray. We got Atlanta Housewives and CSI and all these other things floating around in our head. Amen. It's time out, y'all. We've got to get intimate with this love letter. We've got to get intimate with this word. And I'm telling you, man, Friday, man, thank God, y'all, I might preach for 3 hours. But, man, I'm telling you, Friday, I had an opportunity to take off and sit and just relax and get in the word. Amen. And just meditate. Take the time. I'm not talking about Bible study. I'm not talking about praying through the scriptures. I'm not talking about Sunday service. But I'm talking about, listen, we've got to be able to get by. So our first point is, we need, and this is a continuation from last week. Listen, it must be a marination of love. There must be a marination of love. Amen. We can get along with God and just get by ourselves. And y'all, we used to talk about having an all-night prayer. Guess what? You can have an all-night prayer by yourself. Maybe you can't stay up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so you start all-night prayer at 6 o'clock. Amen. To 12 o'clock. And I'm telling you, God will speak to you. We need a marination of love. Right? Because the Bible says, in Proverbs chapter 8, that we see the Father and the Son. And we see what was behind the very love that God, that the Son would have for us. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, he said in verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no mountains abounding with the water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. And y'all know, that, and this was Christ. And there's a debate with commentators that some people say, well, it wasn't referring to Christ. And some people say that it was only referring to wisdom. Amen. But when you look at and you just cross-reference, amen, these scriptures and how that it points to the relationship that God had with the Son before the world began. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 30, then I was by him as one bought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. And my delights were with the sons of man. Amen? And so we see the relationship that God the Father and God the Son had before the world began. And also, in the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. That's in John 1:1. We also see in Matthew 3:17 the validation of God for the Son when he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We also see in John 17, verse 24. Now, what I'm getting at is a relationship that God the Father and God the Son had before eternity. And what propelled Christ to go to the cross? What propelled him? Amen. What propelled him? What's propelling you? What's propelling you? What's propelling you to do what you do? What's propelling you to love your enemies? What's propelling you to not be a part of the gossip line? What's propelling you? What's propelling you to work in the soup kitchen or work in the pantry or work in the choir? Because guess what? If the love of Christ ain't propelling you to do what you do, somebody gonna get on your nerves. Amen. Somebody, man, Ricky Waters was about to go across the middle. Man, and guess what? Not Ricky. Was it Ricky Waters? Yes, it was Ricky Waters. And man, he seen somebody coming about to hit him. He was about to pop him. I'm talking about a running back for the Eagles back in the day. And so, man, they were already losing the game, and Ricky Waters did something called alligator arms. Y'all ever see alligator arms? So he, instead of stretching out, making the pass, he shortened his arms. Amen. Because he didn't want to get hit. And he didn't catch the ball. And guess what? We'll have alligator arms that will only go so far. We'll only do so much. And then the reporters in the locker room, they interviewed him, and they said, Ricky Waters, why didn't you stretch out and lay out for the ball? You know what he said? We were losing the game. He said, for who? For what? And guess what, y'all? We'll do the Lord that way. We'll only go so far. And am working in the pantry and serving in ministry and serving as an usher and serving as a choir member. We're only do so much. We're only do so much that barely it's raining outside. I can't make it today. We're only do so much. I'm only going to do so much. I don't know what the pastor's talking about. We got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and get in prayer and read and all this. Mm-mm. Either I'm going to do this or that. I ain't going to do both. You're either going to get me here or you're going to get me there. I ain't doing all this. Ain't come to rehearsal. We'll have alligator arms. And Christ's life will never be manifested through us. Amen. Guess what, y'all? This is not a pitch to do more for the pastor. It's not. It's not about me. But it's about growing in grace and in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John 5, by this we know, 5:2, 1 John 5:2, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I'm telling you, it's not hard. It's not hard. Man, sometime, man, I'm getting off work, right? And we got to load up. We got to put the stuff in the car, get it here, and get it to the street ministry. Amen. Amen. And I get out there, and Jake and Norman, and they cracking jokes. And Brother Willie comes up. Man, we just start talking and worshiping and fellowshipping. And guess what? Man, after a while, although I'm tired, my tiredness goes away. And that's what? It becomes a labor of love. And guess what? That's where we got to get. Somebody don't believe me. Somebody looking at me like I'm crazy. That's where we got to get. That it's no longer work to do what we do. Guess what? If you're not a part of ministry, let me ask you a question. Why not? Why not? Why not? Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, why not? We've got to be a part of ministry. I'm not talking about, man, just doing works or standing on a corner. Have you heard the word of Jehovah's Witness lately? That's not what I'm talking about. But being compelled by the love of God to do and serve him. Amen. Even the nursing home, same thing. Amen. We've got to be compelled. And I'm telling y'all, listen, when we're not willing to roll up our sleeves and work, we miss our blessing. Y'all know that? Over and over again, John tells us, herein is my love perfected. When we love one another, when we do, and I love one another don't just mean I love you from afar, but I love you up close and personal. Amen. Amen. So as we talk about this marination of love, listen, y'all, we're going to be closing. 1 John 4:16, that's the verse, man, that broke my heart. 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known and believed the love of God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen? Amen? And so when we go back, I know I'm flipping around, but it's okay. Back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. When he talks about this love affair that God the Father had with God the Son. And we read, now, y'all hold your finger in Proverbs chapter 8. Just listen to this. You can write this down. Read John 17, 24. Jesus was about to go to the cross. And he said, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me. Where I am, that they may behold my glory, that we may behold his glory. And you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, he's going to give it to us. And this is how it's ratified and Christ could be propelled to do what he did. He said, for you have loved me. This is Jesus saying God has loved him before the foundation of the world. So when we go back to Proverbs chapter 8, right? And he said, verse 30, then I was one with him, by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in a habitable part of the earth, and my delight, somebody say my delights. My delights were with the sons of men. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Williams. Amen. He used to quote this verse. And I used to quote it. Then I stopped quoting it. Then he started quoting it. Amen. That's how the word is. And he's over at Norton Avenue preaching this morning. Amen. But now he says, rejoicing in the habitable part, our delights were with the sons of men. Then he says, now therefore hearken. Somebody say hearken. Hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are them that keep my ways. Hear my instruction, and be wise, and refuse not. Then 34 says, blessed is the man that heareth my word. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Amen. Blessed. He's talking about the word that heareth me, watching for me. Learn how to wait for the doors of the post to move. I'm about to trip somebody out now, boy. Man, when we're in the word, and guess what? This word, man, guess what? Man, they got this dye, right? That you can figure out where a leak is in a radiator. And the dye goes to the hole of the radiator, right? Or they got this stuff, and it's supposed to clog that hole in the radiator. Hey, man, some of y'all might not remember, man. Remember them old LTDs, Crown Victorias, right? You had to choke them. Hey, man, then my dad would say, it's flooded. Let it sit. Then we would pour a little bit of gas in the carburetor, open up the flue. He said, all right, hold it open, hold it open, hold it open. My dad being there trying to start it. Then the car would start, puff of smoke would pop out, and then fire, poof. Fire would come out, be like, oh. Man, by the time that thing, that old Ford found on the road dead. By the time that old Ford would get started, you smell that black carbon smoke coming out of there. And I used to stand by like a little kid. I used to stand and smell it. Amen. They don't have them kind of cars no more. But them old radiators, you could put something in it like pepper or something to clog up them holes. And guess what? That's how the word is for us. Man, the word has to go in like Jacques Cousteau and search us out. Woo-wee! Man, the word was able to find me out. The word was able to search me out. The word, man, we got to be able to sit there, wait for the post of the doors to move. And all that means is wait for it to say something to you. Man, listen, that's not just for the preacher or for the evangelist or for the missionary or for the deacon, but everybody in here, we all have a relationship with the word. There's somebody, boy, when they read something and the man that speaks to them, woo, woo, thank you, Jesus. Man, something just happened. Amen. Something happened. And when you read that, and sometimes you can read and read and read and study, nothing happens. But all of a sudden, something will speak. Something will click. Something will turn. something to yearn. Then you cross-reference. And then next thing you know, pay dirt. God has exposed you and met you out of place. Yeah. Amen. Anybody ever been there? I hope I ain't the only one. Anybody ever been there when the word has spoke to you? You wasn't in the church. You wasn't in the choir. You wasn't ushering. But the word all by yourself in the car. Driving down 95. And the tears begin to come down your face. I'm just crazy. Forgive me, y'all. Don't mind me. I just love this word. We've got to wait by the gate, waiting for the doors of the post to move. And that comes through a marination of the word, like the crock pot. Man, them ribs. Amen. That chicken. That beef began to fall off the bone. You'd be like, that's soul food, amen. And this word is real soul food. Good cooking. Amen. Not rush cooking, not microwave cooking. Y'all know when our kids was little, that's what we got. That's my kids. My wife would be like, here, warm it up, sit down, shut up, keep your hands to yourself and eat. But my grandmother, boy, have mercy. Let me just keep on moving. Them biscuits. Amen. Remember mother? Amen. She had, listen, she didn't have no microwave. They took their time. My mother, boy, woo. Amen. They took their time and they cooked the foods. And that's what the word of God has to do. Amen. And when we talk about waiting by the door, that's the idea suggested that eager students were waiting for the teacher to give instructions. Waiting for my cup to overflow. A wife waiting for her husband to get off work. Waiting for the fulfillment of intimacy. Amen. This is what the word of God brings. It brings completion. It brings fullness. And it brings just satisfaction in the soul and the heart of people. Don't y'all want to be satisfied? Don't you want to be fulfilled? Well, guess what? You can only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we don't have to chase. We don't have to look like. We don't have to be like. Amen. But you can be who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus Christ. Bible says you are complete in him who's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And thy soul knows right well. So that's the marination of love. The second point is talking about the love of Christ. It's perfected through our obedience. Perfected through our obedience. So back to our text, right? When he says here in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God, have to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 2, we're going to move, y'all. 1 John 2, 3 says this, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. That's 1 John 2, 4. Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, is the love of God perfected. There's that word again. We're going to keep looking for this word, perfected. The word of God is perfected in him. Hereby we know that we are in him. Amen? Abraham, now we're going to flip to James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and if you can't flip there, just write it down. James is right, 1 John, back up to Peter, and then back up to James. James chapter 2, we're talking about obedience. We're talking about Christ obeying the will of the Father. Because he was propelled by love to go and to do it and to die and to suffer. James chapter 2, verse 21 says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing that how faith wrought with his works, faith wrought, it means it mixed with his works, and by works was made perfect. That means complete. And the scripture, y'all see that word perfect again. We see it again, right? His word was made, his love was made perfect in Abraham, and the scripture was fulfilled, said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Amen. So not only are we propelled through this love of God, but man, when we're propelled through this love of God and it's marinated in us, guess what? We'll produce works or we'll obey. I already gave that point. The third point is, not only is it perfected through obedience, but it will be perfected through loving others. His love is perfected by obeying and loving others. 1 John 4:11, back in our text, says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is what? Quiet. His love is what? Y'all yell it out. His love is what? Can y'all yell? Y'all, let's all say it together as a church. His love is what? Somebody say perfected. His love is perfected in us. It's perfected in us. Amen? If we so love God, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 3:17 says this, but whosoever hath his world's goods, seeing his brother in need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth in him the love of God? Amen? How dwelleth in him the love of God? And that's in 1 John 3:17. Just write these scriptures down. Amen? And the last point that I have is his love is perfected over fear. His love is perfected over fear. Amen. His love, that's the last point, is perfected over fear. So it's perfected when we obey or do his commandment. It's perfected when we love one another. And it's perfected over fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's perfected. Listen, the shrink business, the psychiatry business is booming like ever before. Coming out of COVID, depression, mental illness is off the charts. Amen. And guess what? There's a phobia, hallelujah, of people, even in the black church, that we don't like to talk about certain things. Amen? And somebody could say, well, just get over it. Stop thinking wrongly. But the fact of the matter is, so many people are in bondage. Amen? And they can't help themselves. And we can look at somebody that's addicted or on alcohol. And we can say, what's the matter with you? Just kick the habit. We have no idea of the bondage that people are faced, even with this opioid craze where so many people are losing their lives. The Bible says the enemy desires to have us, that he might sift us like wheat. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, amen. And not only is he stealing our money, somebody said, well, the devil's stealing your money. I ain't talking about your money. But the devil is able to steal your mind, amen, and lock you up in bars. But Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to open up the prison of them that are bound. Amen. Amen. To preach good tidings to the meek. Amen. He has sent me to bind up the broken in hearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, for the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Listen, the Bible says that in John chapter 6 and 1 John 4, 16, and we have known and believed the love of God, that he that hath God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God is in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And the Bible says that in this life, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have stuff. We're going to have hangups. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to go through some things. But Jesus said we can be of good cheer, because I have already overcome the world. When you know that you know that you know. See, the world don't have this joy. The world don't have this peace. The world don't have this freedom. When you know that you got Christ, his love will blow your mind. There needs to be a marination of the love of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what I know. He will set you free. He will loose your shackles. He will loose your chain. The Bible says, what kind of love is this that we should be called sons? It doeth not yet appear what we're going to be. But we know when he cracks the sky, we're going to see him. We're going to be like him. Guess what? I don't have to wait. 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 I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. But when you know that you got Christ, I can shout. 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 Right now, he is my savior. He is my keeper. He is the lifter of my head. When depression comes, when anxiety comes, when worry comes, when doubt comes, when fear comes, all we gotta do is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He died on that cross. He's able to keep you in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on Jesus. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. And as we stand, God has given us the key faith. Then he goes on in our text. And he says, because we've been marinated in this love, there's no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I don't know who I'm speaking to. It could be online. I'm telling you, bondage has to go. Chains have to be broken. Shackles have to be loosed. Jesus Christ, death on the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin have left its crimson stain. Oh, 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 oh. But he's washed us and made us whiter than snow. We've got to get lost in this word of God. Whether it's insecurity, inadequacy, people pleasing, wrong relationships, spirit of rejection, addictions, seeking acceptance of people, unworthiness, whether it's a fear or phobia, failure, inability to set goals, can't get right spirit. Y'all, man, the spirit of confusion. That no matter what you do in the day, the day just keeps going wrong. I'm telling you what I know. But more importantly, I'm telling you what the word of God says. There's no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. And I'm telling you, when you get up and start your day in this word of God, I'm telling you, man, it's like I can float through my day. And that spirit of dysfunction can't get right. Man, the confusion, man, it's got to go. Because his love will manifest itself through you. I don't care what it is. He will set you free. He said to them that continue in my word, truly they are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? Truth. And the truth is what sets us free. I'm free. How many free? I'm telling you, we used to be bound. I feel like doing 5 backflips down the altar right now. I'm telling you, the joy that I have. I'm telling you, we don't need to go to the shrink. We got the answer right here. If you need help, call on Jesus. If you need a doctor, call on Jesus. If you need a lawyer, call on Jesus and fall in love with him. He will deliver you. And there's some things in my life that I've gone through. And the reason why I went through it is for such a time like this that I can help somebody else. And point them to the cross. And if he did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Perfect love cast out fear. He's able to keep you in perfect peace with your mind stayed on thee. when I accepted the call to preach and carry this gospel, there's a weight and a burden that comes with it. Lord Jesus. And God's going to take you through some things. And there's some things that I've been through that only Jesus Christ knows about it. My wife, she could know I was going through something. And vice versa for her. But only Christ. And if there's somebody here and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ and you want to accept him into your heart, you can come right now and give him your life. Is there one that would like to give their heart to Jesus Christ? Is there one? As the choir sings, is there one? Let's sing it. Let's sing it with them.